May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we heard about two people of God from Israel going outside their immediate environment to a different culture, different people. We heard first about Elijah and then Jesus. And both of the passages talk about a woman from outside Israel, from Sidon to be exact, seeking help for her child from someone within Israel. Elijah went to Zarephath in Sidon. He didn't go back to Israel, the place where he's from, and the place to which he had been called to be a prophet. No, at this point in his ministry, he went to Sidon. Why? Well, because God told him to. There's nothing else in the text that indicates any other reason. After all, the drought was as bad there in Sidon as it was in Israel. And through his presence in Sidon, Elijah brought God's blessing to a widow outside Israel. God provided food at a time of famine, and God used Elijah to give life to the widow's son. It was through Elijah's prayer that God intervened and healed the boy. As the boy was reunited with his mother, she said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." With those blessings that came through Elijah came also the speaking of the word of God. In the event of the widow of Zarephath, we see something that has always been true. Even though God initially worked through Israel to form a people, there has always been and always is an outward movement to people from other cultures. God is at work beyond Israel and can use the people of God to bring his blessing and truth. And yet, in the case of Elijah, it wasn't that he went to the people of Sidon as a whole to tell them about God. No, it was this one family, a widow and a son, to whom Elijah was sent as a sign of God's mission to all people. Centuries later, just like Elijah, Jesus withdrew from Israel to Sidon. And there he also met a local woman. She knew that he was of a man of God, sent by God in some way, and asked him to help her daughter. And she even calls him Son of David. So she knew there was something that he was from Israel. Jesus addressed the tension that with Elijah was not really stated. Wasn't he, Jesus, really sent first to Israel? When Jesus gave the metaphor of children and dogs, the woman turned this around and through it, she referred back to a long history of God's help beyond Israel, of God's work in many cultures. And Jesus did help her. It becomes clear that the moment the prophets have talked about for so long has come now. The expansion of God's kingdom to all people, not by this or that nation also becoming a nation that enters into a covenant, but rather by people from all nations becoming part of God's new covenant. Well, we may wonder why this expansion of God's salvation was so slow, why there's a certain hesitance to the mission to all nations. Well, I don't know the definitive answer, but one clue may be in the importance of culture in our understanding of the world. As humans, we are very much culturally conditioned. For God to reach us through this impediment of our cultural conditioning, it requires a people that has changed its culture so much that God's word can shine through, even in the constant mistakes it is making. In other words, through Israel, God transformed the culture to resemble more closely what a godly people should be. If we are to come close to God, some of our cultural habits need to change. Well, that was true 2,000 years ago, and it is still true today. But I think there's a second step that's also important. Through Israel, God gave words that break through cultural barriers to bring the good news to all people. In Jesus Christ, faith is not just cultural domination, so to say, so that we need to fully leave our culture behind if we want to draw close to God. No, God's word breaks into any culture and transforms it. It also means that faith can be expressed in ways that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable to people who closely tied their faith to a certain cultural tradition. Well, that can be challenging to both those living their faith in Jesus Christ in a new culture and those more familiar with old ways of doing things. Therefore, I think we need to discernment to know what the key essentials of the faith are, so that we do not get away further from God, and what we also need to discern what aspects of the faith are culturally conditioned and not essential, and where different cultures may even bring us closer to God. I think that discernment affects us all. After all, we live in a multicultural society in which the world constantly changes around us. But I think the people that face that dilemma more directly are missionaries. And I thought it's best to actually hear of such an experience from a missionary. For that, I want to read a passage from the book Bruchko by Bruce Olson. Now, Bruce Olson was a young Christian who went to the Motilone tribe in the South American jungle. See, he was accepted into this tribe and became friends, in particular with the young man there whom he called Bobby. And through that friendship, he actually brought Bobby to Christ. Now, during a major festival, it was custom for men to have singing contests in that culture. They would climb into a hammock and sing as long as they could, relating legends, stories, and news of recent events. Often their songs would last 12 hours without interruption for food, water, or rest. Now, in this particular festival, an older chief named Aji Bakbaira challenged Bobby to a song, and Bobby was pleased and immediately accepted. So I'll read. They both climbed into a single hammock 20 feet off the ground and began to swing back and forth. Bobby sang first, and Ajik Bakbaira imitated him, following line for line. Bobby's song was about the way the Motilones had been deceived and had lost God's trail. He told how they had once known God, but had been greedy and had followed a false prophet. Then he began to sing about Jesus. Everyone became quiet in order to listen. Jesus Christ was incarnated into man, Bobby sang. He has walked our trails. He is God, yet we can know him. The home was deathly still, except for Bobby's wailing song and Ajik Bagbaira's repetition. People were straining their ears to hear. Inside me, however, a spiritual battle was raging. I found myself hating the song. It seemed so heathen. The music, chanted in a strange minor key, sounded like witch music. It seemed to degrade the gospel. Yet when I looked at the people around me and up at the chief swinging in his hammock, I could see that they were listening as though their lives depended on it. Bobby was giving them spiritual truth through the song. Still, I wanted to do it my way, until I heard Bobby sing about Jesus giving him a new language. Can't you see the reality that he's giving to them? God seemed to ask me. But Lord, I replied, why am I so repulsed by it? Then I saw it, that it was because I was sinful. I could love the Motilone way of life, but when it came to spiritual matters, I thought I had the only way. But my way wasn't necessarily God's way. God was saying, I too love the Motilone way of life. I made it, and I'm going to tell them about my son in my way. I relaxed, able at last to find real joy in Bobby's song. It continued for 8 hours, 10 hours. Attention didn't slacken. It got dark inside the house. Fires were built. Finally, after 14 hours, they quit singing and climbed wearily down from their hammock. Ajit Bagbhaira looked at Bobby. "You've communicated a true news item," he said. "I too want to suspend myself in Jesus. I want to pull his blood over my deception." That night, a spiritual revolution swept over the people. No one rejected the news about Jesus. Everyone wanted him to take them over the horizon. There was tremendous jubilation. Sometimes it was quiet and people would talk to each other in little groups. At other times, the joy would break into spontaneous singing. It went late into the night. God had spoken. He had spoken in the Motilone language and through the Motilone culture. He had not even had to use me. So God can speak in other cultures, even when from our own point of view it may be difficult. The truth of Jesus Christ can break down barriers and lead to new life. I pray that God gives us the wisdom to discern the good and but also the concerning in other cultures. May we be gracious enough to let God speak in ways that may not be that familiar to us. May we remember God's love for all people and that he can change their heart and also ours. Amen.